أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. والحمد لله رب العالمين. صلى الله عليك يا سيدي ويا مولاي يا رسول الله، صلى الله عليك يا سيدي ويا مولاي يا أبا عبد الله يا رحمة الله الواسعة ويا باب نجاة الأمة ويا عبرة كل مؤمن ومؤمنة، يا ليتنا كنا معكم سيدي فنفوز فوزا عظيما. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. ما كان الله ليذر المؤمنين على ما أنتم عليه حتى يميز الخبيث من الطيب، وما كان الله ليطلعكم على الغيب ولكن الله يجتبي من رسله ما يشاء. صدق الله العلي العظيم. As our dear sister Atiya mentioned, tonight is one of the most, if not the most important night in the Islamic history. It dwarfs any other night throughout 1400 years, 14 and some hundred years from the inception of Islam. Maybe the only night that rivals this night in terms of importance and magnitude and result producing, probably the night of Mab'ath, the night of revelation, when the Prophet, peace be upon him, was declared as messenger of Allah and the last messenger. Any other night is dwarfed by such night from its importance and being a turning point in the Islamic history. And for sure, rest assured that the Prophet, peace be upon him, tonight is bereaved. He is in mourning. He is sorrowful, as well as Fatima al-Zahra and Ali ibn Abi Talib and our beloved Imam al-Imam al-Mahdi. Tonight we send our condolences to those great figures and tell them, عَظَّمَ اللَّهُ لَكُمُ الْأَجْرِ Ya Sadati. It's a great night on heart of Fatima al-Zahra. The poet says, لو رسول الله يحيى بعده قعد اليوم عليه للعزاء. If Rasulullah were supposed to be resurrected on such kind of day, he would sit in the mourning of his beloved Hussein. But what is more heart-breaking and disheartening is the oblivious majority of Muslims about such night. Their indifference, their oblivious, being oblivious about such importance of such a great night, under the premise is that this event is a sectarian event, only belongs to the Shia, as if the Shia have taken ownership for the grandson of the Prophet. Therefore, you only see a commemoration maybe in two or three countries out of 55 countries that declare themselves as Islamic, of such kind of important night. Of course, the blame goes not to them at priority, although they are getting the blame, but first and most it goes to the followers of Ahlul Bayt, to us who declare ourselves the Shia, the proud Shia, because we didn't do enough to rectify their misconception. What we have done, we have exacerbated the situation and made it totally, if it's, this is a sectarian thing, only belongs to the Shia. What we should have done, it show the original unadulterated message that Abi Abdullah al-Husayn brought. He never mentioned whether he was the rightful person to the throne or because he's the Imam and he's appointed by Allah. He never mentions that. Throughout his movement, only you see one single theme. طَلَبْتُ وَمَا مَا خَرَجْتُ إِلَّا لُطَلَبِ الْإِصْلَاحِ فِي أُمَّةِ جَدِّي. I just want to reform. I just want to take the nation from the tyranny of Bani Umayyah. That was the theme of Abi Abdullah al-Husayn. But the problem tonight is that we see so many voices who not only do not commemorate such kind of night, they also question the wisdom and the reason for having such kind of event. They say, why do you make such kind of event? This event is hateful. It invokes hate and animosity, and it opens the new wounds that have taken place 1400 years ago. Why do you expose those wounds again and create animosity between Muslims? They're supposed to be brothers. Why do you create hostility and invoke hatred among them? But the problem is that they are mindful, they are not mindful about the wisdom of history. According to their logic, all universities should close their history department until their history professors go home. Why? Because it has no value. The value of history, what history tells us, is that nations throughout, you know, mankind's history get to see same challenges and same difficulties and have same setbacks. Therefore, history should be a lesson for our future, so we can predict our future, because of humanity are the same. They see similar challenges, similar problems, and they get similar setbacks. Therefore, when we study history, we learn how to move forward. This is the wisdom of history. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in many incidents in the Holy Quran, says to the Prophet, فَقْصَصُ الْقَصَصُ. Tell them about the stories. The stories, the tales of antiquity. فَقْصَصُ الْقَصَصَ لَعَلَّهُمْ يَتَفَكَّرُونَ. Maybe they meditate and think about what has gone through throughout the history. And another ayah says, لَقَدْ كَانَ فِي قَصَصِهِمْ عِبْرَةً لِأُولِي الْأَلْبَابِ. In their stories, God doesn't tell, you know, foretell stories for our entertainment. We sit back and just eat popcorn and read the stories. It does for the sake of awakening. We have to be awakened. Why would Allah mention a story of a single man who killed another single man? Qabil killed Habil. Maybe this incident has taken place 12,000 years ago. Why he would mention it? How many people get murdered per day? How many people get murdered in this state or in this city? In Orange County, for example. Why out of all of those God mentions the story of a murder of one person who killed his brother? And the story is gone. Why he dedicates one entire chapter for the story of Yusuf? Someone who had a quibble with his family members, with his brothers. They were in disagreement with him. They bring some kind of a trouble to him, but eventually they got together and settled their differences and sorted out their problems. Why would God take my time and your time and the time of generations, millions of people, to come and recite this Holy Quran until them recited, the more you recite it, you get the benefit? Why he would do that? Just to invoke animosity and hatred? Where is the wisdom in this? How should we think about these things? If Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made the stories of a previous prophet so important for us to read, what's let alone the story of our prophet and his progeny and his family? It is incumbent upon every single man and woman to study the story of our prophets, to study the story of his household and his companion, so for themselves they can discern where is right and where is wrong. And unfortunately, we have not, as the followers of Ahlul Bayt, we have not done a good job. Why? Because we weren't able to get the classic framework of Shia, of the Battle of Karbala, out of its classic form into its original picture that Abi Abdullah al-Hussein has put. We were not able to get it out of its sectarian context. We always exacerbate the situation. You see, in our gathering, it's a beautiful gathering. But here is, you know, what I'm telling you, disheartening. Why it is disheartening? Because we are the ones who gather. We are the ones who talk. We are the ones who cry. And we are the ones who eat the polo qima. And then we say, mashallah, what a turnout. Beautiful turnout. Alhamdulillah, this is nice. But what did we do to the community outside of our own community? Tomorrow Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will hold you and hold me responsible. Abu al-Fadl al-Abbas, which today was belonging to him, he would come and tell you, look, I got you the message of Hussein dependent on me. I lost my hands. My hands were amputated. I lost one of my eyes. My skull were shattered in order for me to get you the message. Then from there, what did you do? You just kept singing to the choir over and over again? How many non-Muslims have been touched by the story of Ashura? They would tell me, they will tell you, they will tell you, they will tell you, ladies in the back. With how many friends you have talked about the incident of Ashura? Did you ever get to sit with them and tell them the story? Or you were always shy and embarrassed, you don't know what to tell them. Okay, how can I explain the tearful event that we tear? You know, we have to be elated and happy. Well, tell it in a way that they understand. You see, commemoration of Hussein doesn't have to be in any set, in any framework. Whenever we know that we have done a good job is when the media starts talking about Ashura. When the movie theater start talking about Ashura, when you see the movies of Hussein here in Hollywood and everywhere that talks about Ashura, then we know that we got the message to the non-Muslims. Because we believe Hussein is rahmah, is mercy for the entire world. And they are also included. Whenever the message of Hussein is seen in the Broadways, in the opera house, in the media, in the movie theater, then we know that we have done a good job. Otherwise, we limit Hussein in the Husseiniyah, in the masjid, with our tearful eyes, cry and beat ourselves. But nothing happens in the outside world. What good we did to Hussein? Nothing. Only Shia, who are by birth, you know, they proliferate, they make more new generations, and they keep the memory of Hussein. But to the outside world, nothing happens. You see, Christians have engulfed the entire world. There are 2.6 billion Christians today, worldwide. Under what? How they have, you know, spread the message of Christianity? Under one thing, and that's the passion of the Christ. When you compare, even, let's say if it's true, for the sake of the argument, say that the passion of the Christ, were it true, Isn't it dwarfed to a single pain of one of the companions of Hussein? How much passion Hussein had, how much torture he received. We couldn't get this message across to other people. Therefore, we should not be happy, brothers and sisters, about ourselves. That, okay, alhamdulillah, we shed some tears and God has forgiven all our sins and inshallah we will be happy and then we will go to Arba'een and khalas, that's it. Others have right on us. Others will hold us responsible tomorrow. John and Jack and David and Nancy, they will grab us tomorrow on the hereafter. Tell us, you had such an icon, Hussein. How come you didn't tell us about him? Here, at that time, we will feel miserable. Sallu ala Muhammadin wa ali Muhammad. A few lessons of Ashura, or the eve of Ashura. What has happened tonight? Very quickly. The first lesson, it is the importance of prayers, brothers and sisters. Tonight, the enemy has encircled the camp of Hussein from every direction. 30,000 warriors. The last batch of warriors came with Shimr ibn Dhul-Jawshan, a regiment of 4,000 warriors. They got to Karbala. Shimr had two commands. He brought two things with him. To Umar ibn Sa'd, who was wavering and was stumbling. He wasn't sure whether he will fight with Hussein or not. From one side, he knew Abi Abdullah al-Hussein. He knows if he fights Hussein, it is Jahannam, guaranteed. But on the other side, he's thinking of Ray. He wants to be the governor of Ray. So he was wavering. Shimr came to make a decision for him. Told him two commands from Ibn Ziyad. Number one, you have to fight this man and right now. But before you fight this man, there is another decree from Ibn Ziyad. And this is important to brothers and sisters. This is an amnesty to Abbas and his brothers. You have to neutralize Abbas. You have to make him set aside, to stand, to be a bystander. Doesn't get in the battle, because that will increase our task and difficulty. We will get exposed. Now, there was an uproar. The enemy tried to move to the camp of Hussein. The Imam alayhi salam overheard the commotion and the uproar. He told Abu al-Fadl al-Abbas, told him, Ya akhi, arkab binafsi ant. May I be your sacrificial Abbas. Hussein is telling his brother. May I be your sacrificial Abbas. Would you go and see what those people want? Abbas, along with the warriors of Ahlul Bayt, they stop the enemy. What's going on? They tell them, number one, we brought an amnesty to you. He said to Shem, hell with you and with your amnesty. You've given me amnesty. While the son of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi does not have an amnesty. The second thing is that they will start the battle. He went to Hussein. And Hussein alayhi salam told him that أطلب منهم أن يمهلون سواد هذه الليلة. Ask them to wait for this night, only this night. And tomorrow the battle will start. Why? يَبْنَ رَسُولِ اللَّهِ Are you afraid of death? You have something in your mind? You have changed your mind? No. The Imam alayhi salam says إِنَّ اللَّهَ يَعْلَمْ إني لأحب الصلاة وتلاوة القرآن. Because I am in love with the prayers. The narrators now, Abbas عليه السلام brought to a halt the advancement of the advance of the enemy. And he came back to the camp. Now the narrators say that night, how the camp of Hussein was, they say, قضى الحسين وأصحابه الليلة ولهم دوي كدوي النحل. Buzzing like buzzing of the bees. ما بين قائم وقاعد وراكع وساجد. They're between, you know, قائم, performing prayers, راكع or sujood, until the dawn. This is one incident. And the other one right in the battle, such tomorrow. Right at noon, one of his companions, Abi Abdullah's companions, His name is Abu Thamama al-Sa'idi, or Abu Thamama al-Saydawi. He declares to Hussein, he said, Aba Abdullah, now the sun has gotten in the middle of the day, and it's noon time, and I would love to pray with you. My last prayer in my life, I would like to do it with you. The Imam alayhi salam didn't tell him, are you crazy? We are in the middle of the battle. They're killing us. We have to defend ourselves. We have to defend the woman. We have to defend the camp. No. Hussein did not say that. Rather, he said, ذَكَرْتَ الصَّلَاةِ جَعَلَكَ اللَّهُ مِنَ الْمُصَلِّينَ الذَّاكِرِينَ He stood up and performed the prayer while the man was defending him. When Imam Hussein finished his takbir and said it three times, Allahu Akbar or Assalamu Alaikum, the man fell on the ground dead. This is how he defended Hussein. And Hussein never criticized him. Why? To signify the prayers. Imam Hussein died for the prayers. Imam Hussein sacrificed his life for the prayers, brothers and sisters. This is our pillar. The hadith from the Prophet, peace be upon him, As-salatu amudu al-deen. In qubilat, qubila ma siwaha. Wa in ruddat, ruddat ma siwaha. If God accepts your prayers, then all your good deeds will follow suit. If not, then nothing will be accepted. Everything will be rejected. This is how important the prayers. So this is message number one. Message number two is to the ladies. You see, my sisters, on such night, and tomorrow by noon, the responsibility of Hussein came to an end. What he had to perform, he performed. And he finished. Khalas. He fell martyr. He along with his household. The torch was given to whom? To the women. To the ladies. To Zainab. In such day, in such night, Zainab was taking care of her nephew. Ali ibn al-Hussein. Ali ibn al-Hussein said that Zainab was nursing me, taking care of me. When I looked at her and I overheard the words of my father was right at the door of the camp. He is fixing his sword and reciting this poetry. He says, Ya dahr uffin laka min khalili. كم لك بالإشراق والأصيل من صاحب أو طالب قتيل والدهر لا يقنع بالبديل وإنما الأمر إلى الجليل وكل حي سالك سبيلي. He said, I understood what Hussein is saying. He's saying, oh dunya, what kind of a friend you are. Eventually you will abandon all your friends. All your friends will be getting murdered and killed. He said, I realized what Hussein was saying. Therefore, I was choked with my eardrops. With my teardrops, I'm sorry. With my tears, I was choked. I could not speak. Then I noticed that Zainab also realized. She started wailing and crying. At that time, Hussein put his hand right on her chest and told her, Zainab, wait. I am going to die tomorrow. You are the one who will take the message. You will be the leader of the camp. You will be the torch bearer of my message to people. And so was Zainab. Zainab alayhi salam, with her bravery. Not only her, the widows, the orphans. You see, their job was much more difficult than the job of the Imam and the rest of the companions. Why? Because the Imam was killed by noon of Ashura. Afterward, the Imam was out of the picture. But who dealt with the enemy? Who saw the gruesome scenes of the battle? Who took the burden of the lashes of Bani Umayyah and beating of Bani Umayyah? It were those kids, those children, those orphans and those widows. So their responsibility was compounded into two. One is to see the misery of Hussein, and second, to carry on and to complete successfully the message without wavering, without faltering. This is the message to sisters. Tomorrow Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will hold you responsible. Tell you, if Zainab could have done this, if one of the orphans, one of the widows were able to achieve this, why don't you do the same thing? Why, for a small thing, for example, a job, they tell you, don't wear hijab. How did you give up this? How did you give up this honorable thing? Just because the employer says no to your hijab? We should have an answer to Zainab. We the men should have answer to Zain al-Abideen tomorrow. This is the second message. And the last one, which is the most important one, brothers and sisters, is the question is how Hussein was killed. How he was killed, why he was killed. Didn't they know that what kind of person he is? Didn't they know that he's the grandson of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi? Which one of them, which army leader of Ibn Ziyad had any doubt in their mind that the one that they are confronting is not the grandson of Rasulullah? None of them. They all knew who was Hussein ibn Ali. Umar ibn Sa'd. Umar ibn Sa'd is the son of Sa'd ibn Abi Waqqas. It is narrated that he's the sixth person who have entered Islam, declared Islam in Mecca. The son of Sa'd ibn Abi Waqqas, the army leader of Islam. He didn't realize who was Hussein. Sa'd, whose Muawiyah tried forcefully to make him condemn Ali ibn Abi Talib, he refused. How come his son, you know, got to this point to be able and willing to kill Hussein ibn Ali? Did he have any doubt in his mind? What kind of sin he is committing? What kind of atrocities he's going to commit? Take another leader. Take Shabath ibn Rabi. Shabath was a wobbling leader. One day on the side of Uthman, next day on side of Ali ibn Abi Talib. He fought with Ali ibn Abi Talib during the Battle of Saffin. Against whom? Against Muawiyah. Then he changed courses to be one of the Khawarij. After the Khawarij, he changed courses to go with Ibn Ziyad. Shabath ibn Rab'i knew who was Hussein. When Muslim ibn Awsajah, one of the companions of Hussein, was killed in the battle, the army of Ibn Ziyad were elated. They started screaming and, you know, yelling and congratulating each other. He said, Tabban lakum, qataltum shaykh al qurra fi al kufa. Ibn Shabath is telling his people, his comrades, you have killed the master of the reciters of Quran in Kufa and you are elated? Because he knew who was Muslim ibn Awsajah. He knew who was Hussein ibn Ali. Another one, Amr ibn al-Hajjaj. Amr ibn al-Hajjaj, another tribal leader. This man had 4,000 warriors to guard the river from the camp of Hussein. When al-Abbas charged to them, it was the regiment of Amr ibn al-Hajjaj. Amr ibn al-Hajjaj, on the eve of Ashura, he tells the people of Ibn Ziyad, tell them, you do not give them the break tonight to stay until tomorrow. If those were from Turk, from Khazar, non-Muslims, we have granted them. While they are the household of the Prophet, you don't want to, you know, give them any break. So Amr ibn al-Hajjaj knew for fact who was Hussein and who were the household of Hussein. Yazid himself, look at this. When Yazid killed Hussein, one of those people and personalities who scolded him was Abdullah ibn Umar, the son of the second Khalifa. He wrote to Yazid, scolding Yazid, denigrating Yazid for such kind of act. Look what Yazid wrote back to him. He told him, قَاتَلْنَاهُ وَقَتَلْنَاهُ. We fought with him and we killed him. فَإِن كُنَّا عَلَىٰ حَقْ فَأَخَذْنَا حَقَّنَا. If we were on the right course, we were rightful, we took our rights. وَإِن كُنَّا عَلَىٰ بَاطِلْ فَأَبُوكَ مَنْ أَوَّلَ مَنْ سَنَّ السُّنَّةِ. If you say that we are in batil, your father was the first one who took their rights and plundered their rights. So Yazid also knew where is the right and where is wrong. Again, they committed such kind of a great sin. Despite numerous narrations and words from Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi. I will tell you just a few. Sallu ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad.
Allah, Allah, salli ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad.
The one that he said in my maybe first or second night of talk, I mentioned this famous hadith of the Prophet Husaynun minni wa ana min Husayn. That was on the eyes of the companions. All were eyewitnessing what the Prophet did when he chased Hussein. He grabbed him, put one hand right behind his neck and the other one is under his cheek, and then he kissed him and said, Husaynun minni wa ana min Husayn. This is narrated in all major Islamic books. They have not seen these hadith. Another one, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi, passing by the house of Fatima, he overhears the cries of Hussein. He declares, Bunayya Fatima, askiti, askiti. Ala ta'lamina inna buka'ahu yu'dhini. Fatima, keep Hussein calm. He was crying. Hussein was crying. He said, Fatima, keep him calm, because his cry and his weep will break my heart. One day he's putting Hussein in his lap. He tells them, if you would like to see Sayyid Shababi Ahlul Jannah, the master of youth of heaven, look at this man, look at this little baby. And he points to Hussein in his prayers, as he prays with the Muslims, all Sahaba behind him in the masjid, Hussein comes and climbs his back while he's in prayers, in the prostration. He stops. He continues with the prostration. After a while, he gets up and finishes the prayers. Muslims thought that the Prophet has forgotten the salah, or there is a wahy came to him. Ask him, Ya Rasulullah, what is happening? He said, Bunayya ibn al-Husayn imtata dhahri wa karihtu an a'jila. I hated to ask him to go down, or to tap on him, to asking him to down. Hussein was enjoying his ride. This is how Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi used to treat Hussein. On the last day of his life, on the last moment of his life, Rasulullah calls upon Ali and tells him, bring Hassan and Hussein. I want to say farewell to Hassan and Hussein. Those two kids come and throw themselves on Rasulullah, on his chest. Ali wanted to remove them. Rasulullah held them. Now Rasulullah was in coma. He was sleeping, and then he would get up, you know, from his coma once in a while. Ali ibn Abi Talib alayhi salam tried to remove them. So when he was in coma, he removed them. When Rasulullah opened his eyes, saw Hassan and Hussein are gone, he said, Ya Ali, where is Hassan and Hussein? He said, Ya Rasulullah, I saw you in pain. I want to relieve you. He said, No, Ya Ali, أريد أن أموت وهما على صدري. I want to die while they are on my chest. We tell Rasulullah, we wish you were witness tomorrow to see who was sitting on chest of Hussein on that moment. The majority of Muslims didn't see that, didn't pay attention to what Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi used to treat people, used to treat Hassan and Hussein. Where is their mind? Where is the mind of the nation? The problem, brothers and sisters, it was the psychology of subjugation. What Bani Umayyah did, they did something that every tyrant does to his people. They took away two important things from the nation. You see, tyrants have very potent and very dreadful weapon. Two kinds of weapon that they use. Number one, they take the will of the people. How? By terrorizing them. By a scare tactic. They intimidate people. When people are intimidated, they are afraid to move. They don't get mobilized. They don't do anything against the ruler. This is number one. You see, brothers and sisters, quality of a human being rests in two things: our will and our awareness. Our mechanical will, meaning movement, our mechanical movement, when we are determined to do something, we do it consciously. This is one thing. Human beings are different from the rest of the living things in this, that they have a will. This is one. And second is awareness, the movement of the brain. When the movement of brain takes place, it makes a difference between us and the rest of the living things. What the tyrants do, they deprive us from those two things. They take away our will, and then they take our awareness. Our will is taken by intimidation. They scare us. They become brutal. They kill the masses. Why Daesh used to burn people to life while they're alive? For what reason? Couldn't they inject, for example, an injection to them and kill them? Or with a single bullet they would kill them? But they wouldn't. Why would they burn them alive? Why would they behead them? To scare people, to intimidate people. When people are intimidated, their will is gone. But still, their conscience and their mind is working. They are cognizant that this tyrant is a tyrant, and he's enemy of God. How they will take this one away, how they will deprive the masses from this, is that when they introduce corruption and indecency and decadence to the public. At that time, people become corrupt. People will be all their life, all what is concerned to them is decadence, indecency. This is how they kill the awareness of people, and this is how they kill the will of people. When those two things are gone, taken away, then any tyrant can control the masses. He can control all the nation, everyone. They all become subjugated and humiliated to him. They cannot do anything without his will. At that time, he will have a peace of mind to govern them. The Almighty give us an example of Fir'aun. Should I call for people to move? Hajj Mujtaba? Again, brothers and sisters, I will mention the holy name of the Imam. Please move forward. There is not much room left, but please, little bit. رحم الله من ذكر القائم من آل محمد. اللهم صل على محمد. Please, brothers, closer, closer, closer. صلوا على محمد وآل محمد. So Quran tell us plus be seated. Salla ala Muhammad wa ala Muhammad. So Quran tell us a story of Fir'aun. Fir'aun subjugated his people, took their will and took their awareness. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, فَاسْتَخَفَّ قَوْمَهُ فَأَطَاعُوهُ إِنَّهُمْ كَانُوا قَوْمًا فَاسِقِينَ. At that time, they just become all herds of sheep. Sheep is even better, because sheep doesn't commit a sin. Animals don't commit sins. Those people are worse than an'am, the Almighty says. Why? Because they become heedless. Nothing is working. Their mind is not working. Their eyes is not working. Their ears is not working. Khalas. Dead. Completely dead. Robot. This is how a tyrant wants to have people. Quran says, talks and describes this kind of people. He says in the ayah, he says, خَتَمَ اللَّهُ عَلَىٰ قُلُوبِهِمْ وَعَلَىٰ سَمْعِهِمْ وَعَلَىٰ أَبْصَارِهِمْ غِشَاوَةٌ. There is a blind, they become blindfolded. They do not see their way. They do not hear anything. and their mind is also closed. At that time, you do everything you want. They will be happy. Today, you look at so many Muslim countries, see what the ruler does. Today, he tells them the king is this. After 2 days, he removes the kings and put another king. They tell him, sam'an wa ta'a. We respect that. Why? Because you are wali al-amr. And God has said, wa ati'u Allah wa rasulahu wa uli al-amri minkum. We have to follow you. You are our guardian. This is how people become subjugated. That what has happened with Muslims, with the nation, with Islamic nation during the time of Hussein. But what benefit is this nation? You see in the ziyarah, what the Imam says, the Imam is infallible. He never exaggerates, he never make a mistake. He says, وَلَعَنَ اللَّهُ أُمَّةً قَتَلَتْكُمْ وَلَعَنَ اللَّهُ أُمَّةً ظَلَمَتْكُمْ وَلَعَنَ اللَّهُ أُمَّةً سَمِعَتْ بِذَلِكَ فَرَضِيَتْ بِهِ. When they hear, but they don't do anything. So what if Hussein is getting killed? It's not a big deal. So shallow-minded, so oblivious about the facts. Now, a tyrant comes and manipulates them. One day, Muawiyah is telling his friend, Umar ibn al-As, or Amr ibn al-As, tell him, Amr, do you want me to demonstrate to you, so you can see it, how dumb these people are? Let me tell you. Look, then he said, he takes the pulpit, and he declares, أَيُّهَا النَّاسِ سَمِعْتُ رَسُولَ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَآلِهِ أَنَّهُ قَالْ مَنْ وَصَّلَ لِسَانَهُ إِلَىٰ أَرْنَبَةِ أَنْفِهِ دَخَلَ الْجَنَّةِ. Whoever take the tip of his tongue and stick it in his nostril, Jannah will be wajib for him. The entire Musallin, all from Bab to Mihrab, all of them busy taking their tongues and sticking it in their nostril. This event took place. If you read the major history books, they tell you how Muawiyah used to manipulate those people. For such kind of thing, they believe the Khalifa. But so many narrations, so many words of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi about Hassan and Hussein, they were oblivious. They would not see it. Now, is it too much of Al-Imam al-Sadiq says, وَلَعَنَ اللَّهُ أُمَّةً سَمِعَتْ بِذَلِكَ فَرَضِيَتْ بِهِ? What benefits such kind of nation does? That's how they have become. Their heart is solid. Their heart is worse than the rock, solid rock. But of course, on the other way, on the other side, they were companions who came, who dressed, put their hearts before their armors to defend Hussein ibn Ali. Those are the ones on such kind of night, on such kind of night, when Hussein ibn Ali gathered them and told them, "Oh my companions, if you stay tonight, rest assured tomorrow, all of you will be massacred. You will be killed. هذا الليل فاتخذوه جملا. Take the ride. Take this night as a camel. Ride it and leave in the darkness of the night. Because those people don't have anybody but except me. They're after me. So this is your final opportunity." One after one stood up. "Why do we leave you, Ya Aba Abdullah? لِنَعِيشَ بَعْدَكْ? Just to live after you? لَا خَيْرَ فِي الْحَيَاةِ بَعْدَكْ. What's benefit of life if we leave you, if we desert you? Just a few moments, a few days, and after that, what happens to them?" Zuhair ibn al-Qayn tells Hussein, he says, "Ya Aba Abdullah, if they take me and decapitate me, and then burn me and throw my ashes, again they repeat the same thing, with me 1,000 times, I will not leave you. I will not abandon you. While it's only one death. Only one death and khalas. We will be in heaven." Each one of them, Al-Qasim, he tells him, "Ya Am, I am also part of the martyrs." He tells him, "وَكَيْفَ الْمَوْتُ عِنْدَكَ يَا بُنَي?" "How do you feel about death?" He says, "وَاللَّهِ فِي نُصْرَتِكَ أَحْلَى مِنَ الْعَسَلِ." On such kind of night, that was the last night that Hussein saw them. But in the afternoon of Ashura, Hussein looked toward his east. Nobody was there. Toward west, on his right and left side, nothing. He kept calling names. Ya Muslim ibn Aqil, wa ya Habib ibn Mudahir, wa ya Muslim ibn Awsaja, wa ya Zuhair ibn al-Qayn, wa ya Abbas, wa ya Ali. But no answers. Only he hears the echo of his voice. They are all martyred. They are all on the ground, slain on the ground. No answers. He keeps calling them, Ya Abtal al-Safa wa Fursan al-Hayja, Mali unadikum fala tujibun wa ad'ukum fala tasma'un. أَأَنْتُمْ نِيَامٌ أَرْجُوكُمْ تَنْتَبِهُونَ. Are you asleep? Are you hypnotized? Please wake up. Stand up. أَمْ حَالَتْ مَنِيَّتُكُمْ بَيْنَكُمْ وَبَيْنَ إِمَامِكُمْ فَلَا تَنْصُرُونَ. Stand up and look at the household of Rasulullah, daughters of Rasulullah. هذه بنات الرسول لفقدكم قد علاهن النحول. Then he says, فقوموا من نومتكم يا كرام وادفعوا عن حرم الرسول هؤلاء اللئام. Push those infidels away. The children of Rasulullah, the daughters of Rasulullah are calling upon you. But no answer. He was left by himself. He comes back to the tent and declares, Ala hal min nasirin yansuruna? Ala hal min mu'inin yu'inuna? No answer. At that time he knew that he is the one who has to go to the battlefield. He goes back to the ladies and declares, Ya Zainab wa ya Umma Kulthum, wa ya Rabab, wa ya Atikah, wa ya Sukaina, wa ya Ruqayya, alaykunna minni salam. I am giving my farewell to you, alaykunna minni salam. Fahada akhir al-ijtima'. After this, we will not be seeing each other. All children, all women rush to him. He's on his horse, standing up, saying farewell. Now those little kids, they cannot reach Hussein. He is on top of the horse. They grab the leg of the horse, the hoof of the horse, hugging the horse, kissing the horse, kissing goodbye to their imam and to their leader. As he goes back to the battle, Zainab calls upon him, Habibi Hussein, Noora Aini Hussein. He turns his back. Hussein, I have something. Please come back to me. He comes. She tells him, Hussein, I want you to stand up. Come from your horse. Disembark the horse. He disembarks the horse. Get it closer to Zainab. Zainab tells him, open your chest, Hussein. As he opens his shirt, she prints a kiss right on his neck. Then she looks toward Medina and says, As-salamu alayki ya umma Fatima, laqad addaytu al-amana. What you have asked me, Fatima, on such day I have done. Hussein tells her, what did you do? What are you talking about? She tells him, Hussein, on the last day of the life of our mother Fatima, when you were away in the masjid with your brother and father, Ali ibn Abi Talib, Fatima grabbed me and told me, Zainab, I want you to do a favor for me. On the last day of life of your brother, I want you to kiss him right on his throat. And this is what I have done. Hussein takes the horse again and charges to the enemy. He fights them. He fights them on the left, then on the right, then in the center, until he get tired. When he get tired to rest, he asks for water. They don't give him water. Right on that moment, a stone comes and hits him right on his forehead. The blood starts to gush
as he removes his shirt to wipe up the blood. An arrow comes and penetrates his heart. At that moment, Hussein is flipped from the horse to the ground while he's calling, Bismillah wa billah wa ala millati rasulillah ridan biqadaik la ma'buda siwak aghithni ya ghiyath al mustaghithin. Zainab is in the camp. She doesn't know what's going on. All of a sudden, she noticed that the universe become darkened. The sun have been eclipsed. She get panicked. She goes to Ali ibn al-Husayn. Tell him, Ali, my nephew, what has happened? He said, Sannidini ya amma. Let me stand up. Let me lean against you. As he looks to the horizon, he sees the head of his father right on top of the spear. La hawla wa la quwwata illa billah. Al-Ali al-Azim, inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un. Assalamu alayka ya Aba Abdullah. وعلى الأرواح التي حلت بفنائك وأناخت برحلك عليكم مني جميعا سلام الله أبدا ما بقيت وبقي الليل والنهار ولا جعله الله آخر العهد مني لزيارتكم. السلام على الحسين وعلى علي بن الحسين وعلى أولاد الحسين وعلى أصحاب الحسين ورحمة الله وبركاته. والسلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته.